Well, that's where Lawrence made all of his money.
Lawrence Mayberry made his money.
It's where he started, wasn't it?
Well, I started him out.
Did you?
Yeah. Like Ray Mayberry, his brother, was a cot builder. And I worked with him in the mutual. And Lawrence never had seen a board or a bar, but he had more nerve to start that build. He didn't look like he was over 18 years old when he was 27. And I got Ray to try to build some houses, so I needed volume, you see, without having to compete with Anderson and stuff. So I got Ray to, Ray wasn't very outgoing. He'd build one house and he wouldn't build five or six, see. But Lawrence came in with his dad one day with an old slouch hat on and he looked like 17 years old. Wanted to take it over, and the first thing he did was buy a car of lumber, and the lumber came in, and I tried to balance it for him, and he bought it just regardless. Then he came in and tried to unload it with a hay rack and haul it out of Kaysville. After about 3 days, I went over there in the trucks and unloaded it for him and got it out of there, because he'd been all summer getting it. He had lumber struck from the viaduct here out to Kaysville Board.
Well, I worked for Lawrence Mayberry
yeah.
a couple summers.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence was a sharp little operator, and he worked for Lawrence. I set him up. I financed his first houses. I wouldn't let him build any houses in the city for 2 years. Ray was a good builder. But Ray didn't have to get up and go out and build a group, but Lawrence had all kinds of stuff. Now, Lawrence is an example. He went down to Mesa, Arizona, to the temple. While he was down there, he came home the night. He came in my office, and he says, "Vaughn, I guess I've made the first mistake I've made. I bought 28 acres down there for $18,000. I went in the banker down in Phoenix to get financed, and he turned me down. And he only looks, you know, like 27 or 28, and he was up in his 40s. And so he come back that night, and I said, "Lawrence, did you talk to the state president?" And he said, "No." And I says, "You get down there and talk to the state president and some of those guys that know that country, and they'll be the guys that talk to you, not the banker. You didn't look like anything to that banker, Phoenix." So he come down, he called me the next morning at 6 o'clock and wanted to come down and get some plans from the office. And I got down and got here about 6 or 8 plans for small, ordinary building projects. He went down there and talked to the state president, and the fake president was the president of the bank in Mesa. And he took him over to the banker in Phoenix. And the banker in Phoenix was this man. Financed Mayberry, and he built 28 houses down there, and he made 3 times the money that he made here because he didn't have to put in any, he got a better commitment on the houses from the FHA. He didn't have to take any basements, but they didn't use basements there, just on the ground. Mm-hmm. So the water lines are only 18 inches under the ground, just so you don't hit them with a scraper going down the street. Mm. That's the way he got his money.
Well, when did Granddad sell this area now, this property?
Well,
what happened to it?
What happened here is father died, and so we set up a probate, see. And we had once, because we were more interested in running the yard at Preston, Dad gave what stock came out of the Preston yard to our side of the family, and he gave 2/3 of what came out of here to the first family. And when he died, this was all probated, and your dad and H.A. and the other family were the executors.
Well, didn't your dad give it away to you kids all of you before he died?
He gave everybody one lot down this street. That's where Jewel and Della and Gladys got their lots.
No, you had one right there for Bob's.
I had the lot. I had this little house right on the corner here. And I built this little white house when Bob got married.
Well, then you built the one right next to, or two down from Gladys, or...
Well, that was years later.
Della's.
I built Della's house.
And two down. Didn't Bob used to live right there?
Bob lived in the corner lot on Monroe.
Yeah, and then Clark bought it, didn't he? Or?
No, Clark bought where Jewel lives.
Jewel. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now your dad owned that lot.
That, he gave the lots away.
I bought the lots from the girls and built houses on them. And then I bought them. Your dad owned the lot where Jewel was. He charged me twice as much as the girls did because he knew the lots were worth more. They were coming up, see. So we got out on it, done pretty well anyhow. I built the houses there, and then I built a couple of three of these houses down the street, all around the corner here and stuff. I built houses all through here. There's hardly any place in town I can't go and find a house. I had someone who owned some street.
Well, then Uncle Earl got this property back,
Uncle
to the
Earl,
back of us.
Uncle Earl was given this property where the orchard was.
I can remember the orchard trees here,
these apple trees.
These apple trees
that are here, your dad and I set out every one of them.
These are still here?
There's two or three of them still standing here.
Right over here, there's some of those old apple trees.
People right next door have got some of those trees. And your dad and I set every one of them up. Dad bought a whole bunch of them, and he sent me and your dad up here to plant them. 20 feet this way and 20 feet this way. So we strung a line along there and dug a hole and planted every tree, and we had about 2 acres of orchard here.
And then on the very east end, there were some peach trees, a pear tree that I can remember.
We planted a few, 3 rows of peach trees, the rest were apples, Jonathan's and Winesap's. And we had some pear tree, peach trees, and then a few pear trees. And when I came up here and lived there, I rutted it off with Dad, and I run the dog thing and took the fruit off it. Stuff like that for a long time. And the lot that Dad gave me was the one right west of the house where this little white house is. And so when Bob got married, he thought he wasn't going to rent no cows or cut no hay or haul no grass that way. And he was going to live in a fancy apartment. So they went out looking one Sunday. And when they come home, they said, she dropped in one chair and he did in the other. And I said, well, what did you find? And he says, ye gods, Dad, we couldn't find anything we'd live in under $90, and you're the only thing in 100 and a quarter. And I said, all righty. Well, of course, this is the time of the day when that wasn't a bad salary. A banker would get $300, maybe $500, say. Of course, the big outfits would make the bedroom just the same. But the ordinary guy, he got a wage. You could hire men when I was a youngster getting out there $12 a week to get a man to drive a team of horses or a truck for $15. So times have changed. They're still changing.
Too fast.
Too fast. All the politicians are trying hard to keep up with it, but they can't.
I think they're behind now. They're not even ahead of it.
No,
well, then, when they never did build houses. Granddad never lived out here then.
No,
right?
Granddad promised.
Just the barn was there.
Yes, he built that one little house on the corner there for a caretaker to look after his ground. And he worked for Dad down the lumber yard. Then when he wasn't busy there, Dad put him out here running the farm. All of us kids worked on the farm. All every man does was hard work. We cut grain and hay and all that stuff.
One of the funny things about that house, we traded for it when we come down from Preston, you know.
That's the
bigger I could get then, you know. And Mom tore out, there was 2 rooms and 2 little closets, and Mom tore them all out and made 1 living room. Imagine the size they were.
Yeah. Dad built middle rooms.
And
the
bedroom had no closed closets at all. There was no basement. Anyway, he changed the whole thing around. He built on closed closets, and he put a bathroom in there and changed the whole thing around. And every place we've lived except here, he's always made them a lot better.
That's what's good about Uncle Bob. Yeah.